Sunday, July 12, the year 2020. Sleep did not come easily last night. With no phone, no television, and not even a bar of my beloved Beethoven to dull my mind into slumber, I was left alone with only my thoughts, which were not the light and optimistic kind I have grown accustomed to over the course of my 34 years on this planet. I can't say what it was, but my mind sought out the darkest places and took me straight to them. What if I was to be dismissed on the first night of this affair? What if some group date required physical exertion in the poisonous heat of the desert that rendered me incapacitated, in need of medical care? What if, gods forbid, Miss Crawley herself were to contract the COVID-19 virus? Perhaps it was the adverse effects of arriving in a different time zone, or perhaps it had to do with being locked inside of this room with no human contact, or perhaps a bit of both. But whatever the reason for the plague of these maddening ideas, the result was a restless night. At moments, fatigue would finally cast its spell of sedation upon me, and I would slip into brief periods of slumber, only to be startled awake by nightmares populated by shadowy figures lurking behind cacti and demonic glowing red eyes in the darkness. And through it all, a ringing, three shrill tones in quick succession that produced within me an inexplicable terror I can't bear to think of again, even in the bright light of day. When I woke this morning, I was overtaken by a hunger the likes of which I have never known. Last night, I was served dinner, a cheeseburger, and some French fries, with a room-temperature can of Coca-Cola. Being vegetarian, I was only able to partake of the potatoes and wonder why my request for a vegetarian meal was ignored. I made an attempt to contact Gary, but to no avail. I can't be sure how long the line rang without an answer, but it seemed to me that the producers had gone for the night, so I made no further effort for sustenance. Having no way to discern the time, I hoped I had not stayed in bed too long this morning and missed breakfast, and even if I had, I thought there was some chance my door might yet remain unlocked, and should I open it, I might find a tray with pancakes and oatmeals and a variety of berries waiting for me in the hallway. I stood from bed, gave myself a stretch of the back to get the blood flowing into the proper extremities, and attempted to open the door. This attempt was fruitless. I looked out the peephole. Maybe, I thought, I could see if my breakfast was waiting on the ground below. All I saw was an empty hallway, projected in unusual dimension through the curved glass of the peephole. Not a bite of food, not a person in sight. Just that endless hallway, left to right, door after door. And I wondered, who is in those other rooms? I took the telephone in hand and heard the ring now familiar to me, followed by a voice that would become equally familiar, I was sure. It was Gary. "Hello," he said. "Do you need something?" I could tell from the tone of Gary's voice that he was likely under more pressure than he had anticipated. That, or he held deep disdain for each of us, locked away in our rooms, calling on him for all of our needs, no matter how mundane they must have appeared to him. I was simply wondering what time it is, and hoping that I had not yet missed breakfast, I replied with a lilt in my voice meant to soothe sweet Gary into aiding me. There was condescension in Gary's voice as he laughed and said, "Well, it's 3:42 right now, so you definitely missed breakfast. We only leave the doors unlocked for a few minutes, and if you don't get your food, we can't just leave it in the hallway. I see, but is there any way I might be able to acquire something to eat now? I asked, in as polite a manner as I could muster, with the gnawing hunger raging in my belly. Gary sighed. I guess we can bring you a snack. Yes, I managed. A snack, please. Gary ended our connection before I could conjure the impulse to remind him of my dietary restrictions, which I am certain I mentioned in every step of the casting process, and committed to print on at least a dozen forms and questionnaires. I stood stunned for a moment. How could time have passed me by in such a manner so extreme? I went to the window and saw the long shadows of cacti and palm trees cast in harsh contrast on the white gravel path twisting to and from places I could not see. The position of the sun and the yellow haze of its waning light seemed to corroborate what Gary claimed, that it was in fact 3:42 p.m. I would have to do something about this, or risk the possibility of missing another meal. But what could be done? With no alarm clock, and seemingly no means by which I might contact the front desk to schedule a wake-up call, how was I to maintain any semblance of punctuality? There was a knock at the door, followed by the click of its unlocking. I rushed over to make certain I would not miss this opportunity for sustenance, and there, sitting on the floor, was a single plate with one slice of pizza, and the pizza was covered in thick pepperonis. I thought of ringing Gary again, but I was hungrier than I was willing to wait for another slice, and thankfully, the pizza was undercooked, making the process of pepperoni removal that much easier. I sat by the window as I ate the slice. No one was outside, not even birds, not even the lizard I had seen the day before. It was as if I was looking at a painting. I began to count the cacti. 17 in total, 6 palm trees, and that winding path. How I did wonder where it started and where it might end. Eventually, I thought, once the quarantine period was concluded, I would find these things out. As I chewed on the last piece of crust, the telephone rang. Perhaps, I thought, it was Gary with an apology for his oversight on my dietary requests. But when I picked up the receiver, it was not Gary at all. It was Sarah, the producer who I had first met upon arrival at this resort. She said, "Hello, Charles. How has your first day been?" Although this seemed like an innocuous question, a meaningless pleasantry, I knew, as we all did, that appeasing the producers was as much a part of this game as wooing Miss Crawley herself. So no matter what the actuality of the situation was, my answer to such questions would always and forever be, "Fantastic." Sarah said, "That's great to hear, and it's about to get even more fantastic. Your COVID test came back negative." "Wonderful," I replied. "So what are the next steps, then?" Sarah took a breath. What she said next was prepared and practiced through the necessary repetition that came with making this phone call to several other men that day, I was sure. She said, "I know you're probably excited to get going and meeting Claire and even the other guys, but we need each one of you to stay in your room for another 6 days just to make sure. Then we're going to do one more test, and if you're still clear, we'll take it from there. Have a good night." Then Sarah ended the call. It was good news, I suppose. As good as I could have hoped for, but I felt no better. As I sat in the room for some amount of time I could not describe and watched the cloudless sky out my window turn from bright blue to darker blue as evening approached, and then I heard another knock. But this knock did not come from the door. No, this knock came from the wall against which my bed was arranged. This knock came from someone in the room next to me.